Welcome to the Barth Calderone Culture of Leadership Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women's President's Organization, Vistage, the Young President's Organization, Tiger 21, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Thank you, everybody, for joining Wealth Protector TV. My name is Paul Hitchcock, and I am the host of Wealth Protector TV, and this is our channel at the firm Barth Calderone to get value out to our community. And it is always a way for us to give you information on hot topics. Certainly, we're going to be covering one today with the new Bernie Sanders proposal. And there's always a lot of questions that come up on our episodes here, especially on this topic. We know people are going to have some extenuating issues that they want to get covered. So I'm going to share my screen and show you a way to get connected to us. So as you take notes here and think about your own situation, we have a way for you to get one-on-one with our experts here. If you text Guard Assets to that phone number, it will get you on a phone call with me so I can understand a little bit about your situation and get you connected to the right expert at our firm here and tell you how the process works to get a review of your particular situation going. So take a snap of that or write that down. I'll share that in the chat as well. And for those of you who don't know our firm, we are experts in asset protection, estate planning, and business planning across the country. We have about 6,000 clients everywhere and just do a lot of these shows. We put on about 40 workshops a year, providing value and educating folks. Harry is the founder and senior managing partner of our firm and our top speaker on these issues. And Harry's going to be delivering this eye-opening talk now. We may have some time for some Q&A at the end. Harry, we'll see how it goes, but I'm going to let you jump right in and let's get it going.
Great. Well, thank you, Paul, and thank you, everybody, for joining me at high noon today to have this discussion regarding what's up with the government and what's up with Bernie Sanders' tax proposals. So I think we should start by having just a moment to understand the seriousness of what's going on. Let's all understand that the power to tax is the power to destroy. And for those of us in California, we have the intersection of the potential Biden, call it Sanders, tax proposals, combined with that horrible piece of legislation known as Proposition 19. In the past, unless you were ultra wealthy, a state of over $23 million, taxation didn't seem to be in the front view for you. However, with the proposals that were introduced to the Senate last Thursday, that could change rapidly. We're about to potentially face the greatest increase in taxation since 1942, right? That was the time of doing during World War II. And what basically is happening is here is, and again, this is not meant to be political. The Biden administration has basically said that they would like to increase the tax burden on those that earn their money via investment and receive their money via inheritance and reward and take that money and put that into socially oriented infrastructure type programs that reward those that work, workers. So about the workers, and in order to pay for the workers' programs, let's tax the wealthy. That's quite profound, and it's a paradigm shift for America. One of the things that is important to understand that for many, many, many years, one of the reasons America attracted investment from all over the world is for the stability of our tax policy. Our tax policy, whether it be income tax policy or estate tax and gift tax policy, was always kind of standard and unified and followed a pattern. So people, when they invested in the United States or came to the United States, felt that they could have an understanding of the direction of U.S. tax policy. Of recent, that has shifted. And what we go through today will give you a great understanding of that. Today, tax policy seems to be more about politics than it is about tax policy. So with the great blue wave, the trifecta of the great blue wave, and all three branches, with not the Supreme Court, the House, the Senate, and the White House turning blue, we will see or about to see that tax policy is being offered to accomplish political objectives, not necessarily tax policy objectives. So what I'd like to do today is, please, let's have some understanding as I run through this with all of you, that what we require here, okay, all of you require, and trust me on this, is to take a deep dive and a deep review, even those of modest means, because although we were told that increases in taxes would not affect those of modest means, buried within the a tax code changes that are recommended are things that will even hit people that own a modest home. So we really got to take a dive, and we got to take a dive in relatively quickly. What you'll hear from me today and many of our competitor estate planning firms is that we really need to start early. We really need to examine each and all of our estate plans and the way we're going to move assets from one generation to the next. And we can't do it, ladies and gentlemen, in September or October. Those that wait until that period of time will all and most likely lose the opportunity for one of the greatest wealth transfers in United States history. Now, a couple of things that we need to know, that most tax legislation that has passed recently in the last several presidential administrations have only been able to pass temporarily, running for about 10 years. The other thing we all need to know is that the legislation that I'm going to discuss with you today may not be adopted in full the way in which it has been presented to the United States Senate, and may be modified some. We hope that it doesn't get enacted at all. The other thing to know is that estate and gift taxation usually doesn't affect us. It affects our transfer from one generation to the next. And we also need to understand, because of the political volatility of the tax, some people will turn around and say, well, we'll just wait out the administration, wait for a new administration, and hopefully there'll be a change that is better than the one that we are about to examine together today. Given that all is a background and a backdrop for today's conversation, and the depth of the seriousness of the conversation, so let me start by saying one simple thing. For those of you that are fortunate enough to have at least $23 million worth of net worth, I'll make a statement and then we'll examine it, that the things that we can do today can save up to $19 million of taxation in moving from generation one to generation two. I think that's a pretty good motivation to take a deep dive and take a deep look. For those of you of modest and smaller estates that we've constructed over the last 35 years, things have changed. We've made modifications for the $23 million estate tax exclusions for spouses that now may change significantly. So those need to be reviewed. So let's take a look at specifically what some of the changes are that have been announced. I sent it all out to everybody in a blast email. We will send it again and again. We are recording today's seminar. So we have it available, and we will replay it several times. So what's happening? So first, historically or not historically, at the present time, spouses or each of us have $11.5 million exemption from federal estate taxes. So for a married couple, that's $23 million. And we pay taxes for 40% of every transfer to family members or others above that 23 or $11.5 million. I'm gonna dispense with the word today, estate taxes and gift taxes, other than in some narrow scenarios, and let's just call it what it is. It's a transfer tax. It's a tax on the transfer. Now, we need to understand the motivation for the tax on the transfer. I believe, and I think my colleagues would agree, that the estate tax is really not designed tremendously as a revenue raiser for the United States government. What it's designed to do, or it's always in the past been designed to do, is to try to prevent wealth from concentrating in the hands of a few families. So the way that the government does it is forcing us to sell those assets or tax it away from us and allegedly spread the wealth around so no one family concentrates much wealth. All we do is have to take a look at the titans of Silicon Valley and many of the other billionaires and multi-billionaires that have happened over the last 20 years. And we will see that that's been a plan that has dismally failed because people will plan around the confiscation by the government. So that didn't work. So now the legislation that has been is being announced for the future indicates and tries to deal with all of the ways in which those of us in the estate planning profession have used to help you save taxes for the next generation. And again, they are significant. They target that, and they target that specifically. So the goal is not revenue raising, although they take a lot of money. The goal is moving money away from you to your family. I get angry about this, and maybe you should too. We work very, very hard. We pay a lot of income tax to the federal government. We pay a lot of tax to the state government, depending if you live in a state that has high taxation. And then we die, and they want to take anywhere from 40 to, and I repeat, 65% of those assets to the government in the form of taxation. So let's take a look at what's going on. So like I said, today, for a couple, it's $23 million and $11.5 million that we can pass, and then 40% of everything above. So where are we at? So January 1st, 2022, the legislation that was introduced to the Senate, sponsored by several senators, sponsored by several congressmen, and what we thought would be unlikely, with the Senate turning blue in January, it now becomes more likely than not that legislation similar to this will be adopted. And in this particular change as proposed, the $23 million couples exemption drops down to $7 million minus whatever gifts we have given previously. As individuals, it drops to $3.5 million. So a drop from $11.5 million to $3.5 million, round numbers, $8 million, round numbers, 50%. That alone on one side of a spousal family is a $4 million tax increase moving from generation one to generation two. And the actual number is $8,800,000 tax increase from spouses to children from generation one to generation two. So to make it as kind of an example, to make it a little easier to understand, if Harry has $1,000 that I can leave to my children under the new proposal, and I have already given $2 million to them earlier through other different forms of estate planning that I have done, I only have $1 million left. So that's quite significant. The other thing that's significant in this particular legislation is that this time, different from the past, that $3.5 million exemption is no longer or doesn't appear to be indexed for inflation. So as dollars rise, you know, inflationary dollars go up, the $3.5 million remains the same. So in essence, it's diminishing its value. So even though the dollar may be worth less, the $3.5 million exemption is no longer indexed for inflation. If that wasn't enough to add insult to injury, there was a change in the way in which the rate of taxation is being transmitted for us. So right now, The goal or the rate of taxation is a flat 40% for everything above the 11.5 million. Starting January 1st, 2022, if the legislation passes, everything above $3.5 million on death will start at a tax rate of 45%. It will then increase when we're over $10 million to 55%. Then it will go as high as 65% as the tax rate along the way. That is really significant. For our numbers today, we'll just consider 50%. So think about it this way, that where once before, if we had an $18, $19 million estate, we would be able to pass it to our children with no taxation. Now an $18 million estate would be subject to $11 million at 50%. So it'd be about a $5.5 million tax. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please understand we have a little runway. So the runway begins now, and that runway closes December 31st. I want to assure you that we will do everything that we can do in working with you and reviewing everything that you have and providing the best, and I mean the best solutions for you. And they are a little bit complicated at times, but we need time. So differing from the past, if you call our offices in September or October with the appraisers and the work that we have, there is a very good possibility we will not be able to complete the work in time to give you the benefit that you need. So please, please, please contact us early and let's begin the deep dive into the estate planning. So number one, we do understand that just a decrease from 23 million down to 7 million. That's $8.8 million. It is possible with early and good planning that we can still lock in that $23 million for a family or that $11.5 million for a single person and still maintain that exemption moving into the future. But it does a couple more things in the planning. So in the planning, we get some side benefits. So the side benefits is that if we transfer, you know, $4 million, $5 million, $10 million, $15 million to the next generation. In addition to the $15 million that we will still be able to not pay federal transfer taxes on, we will also, all of the growth on that over the next 10, 15, 20 years, no matter who the president is, will not be subject to tax. In addition to that, all of those assets, if structured properly, will be free from creditor claims and get us asset protection. So it's something we really should look at carefully. But they're not finished with just raising the percentage rate and lowering the exemption amount, although that's quite primary. Another thing happens on January 1st, 2022 that I'd like to share with you. And it has to do with gift taxation. So for those of you in transfer taxes, we have a transfer at death, and we have a transfer during lifetime. I can make a gift to my children during lifetime. Right now, the federal estate tax and the gift tax are unified. So I can either give away $23 million today, or $11.5 million if you're single, or have $11.5 million exemption at the time of death. Under the proposal that was submitted to the United States Senate, that changes dramatically. Under the proposal starting January 1st, 2022, the lifetime gift exemption is being reduced from $11.5 million to $1 million. So if you have given away $1 million or greater in the past, you no longer have any gift tax exemption left. Any gift to children or grandchildren after January 1st, 2022 will be subject to a 45% gift tax assessment. Absolutely horrible. And so many of the techniques that we are able to use now to help you with dealing with the taxation will be gone because we are going to be limited to $1 million for each person as a lifetime maximum that we can give away under under the new proposed legislation. That is absolutely horrible. So just think about it this way. If you've given away $1 million and you want to give another $1 million to the kids during your lifetime for whatever reason, we'd have to give the government $450,000 for the privilege of giving them $1 million. Absolutely crazy, but that's the way it is. So we've had a lot of tools that we have used over the years with many of you that have helped. So one of the things that has been in the firing line, all right, and remember that the great blue wave, has been trying to raise the rate on corporations and wealthy individuals for many, many years. Now they finally have the opportunity to do so. So one of the things that we talk about is something which we call discounts. So discounts were as if we had a limited liability company, a limited partnership, and if I owned 50% of that LLC and I wanted to give 25% to my son and my daughter, since what I was transferring to them did not have voting rights, and it was a minority interest, and it wasn't very marketable, I couldn't do it, we were always able for gift tax purposes and for estate tax purposes to discount that, sometimes as high as 30, 40, and 50%. So $1 million gift would actually really be $500,000 when we have all the restrictions that go on the gift that goes along with it. Under the new legislation, all of the intra-family gifting discounts are eliminated, pretty much, they're gone. So now if we give $1 million within the family, it's a full $1 million and we're not be entitled to the $400,000 or $500,000 gift tax exclusions. So that's really difficult. Now tools. So some of the tools that we have been able to use for each and every one of you, also known as grantor trust rules. These are rules that we have been allowed to make transfers from parents to children, freeze estate tax values, and to be able to create a trust for our children and not have a tax burden on that trust, because we, the creators of the trust, would pay the tax on behalf of the trust. So we were able to remove assets from our estate for federal estate and gift tax purposes, but we kept them for income tax purposes. So one, we could pay the tax, it wouldn't be an additional gift, and the transfers to that trust would not be an additional gift. Quite a seemingly complex, but a very good tool that we have had for dealing with federal estate taxation by dividing the two, the income tax from the estate tax system. So under the new legislation as introduced, if we are still responsible for the income taxation, those assets will remain in our estate for federal estate tax purposes and be subject to federal estate tax. So I think that we look at that, and that would be another significant change. So it's not just that we are changing the thresholds and the tax rates, but the tools that we have used to help you over the years will no longer be, there will still be tools, don't get me wrong, but the traditional tools that have been so effective are seeming to be eviscerated by this particular piece of legislation. And of course, for those of us in California, it's interesting if we want to take advantage of giving things to our children now and their properties, where before we had a parent-child exclusion after Proposition 19, we no longer have a parent-child exclusion. So now we're kind of wrestling between federal estate taxation, which is going to go up significantly, and property reassessment under Prop 19, making it again an even further and more difficult analysis to help you achieve goals and objectives. So we have approximately 9 more months to plan accordingly and make some changes. Also, one of the tools that we have used is something known as a grantor retained annuity trust, and a short-term grantor retained annuity trust was a really good tool that we use to help reduce assets that are being transferred for estate tax values. Well, that was also going to be impaired by the new legislation. So what else is happening? So maybe a beneficiary is charities, the utilization of our own private foundations. So when assets move from us to, instead of to our children, but to, for example, the Harry and Tess Memorial Foundation, there will be no estate taxes, and our children can work for the foundation doing charitable purposes and the right charitable things and receive reasonable income. I think charities are a winner in this, because it's either going to be the government or a charity, but it's not going to be both. So I think that we look at that. There's one other thing that I think we need to explore in the time that I have with you today, and I promise I won't keep you here very, very long at all. So we have something which is called a step up in basis. So let me talk about that a little bit. We have $1 trillion worth of wealth in this country. So if Harry and Tess bought stock for $10,000, or bought a piece of land for $10,000, and that piece of land is now worth $1 million, if I would sell that land, I would have to pay, round numbers, capital gains taxes to the federal government on $900,000 gain, and I'd have to pay California or state taxes on the gain as well. And we have had in this country a very, very powerful, call it estate exemption or income tax exemption, is that when somebody passed away, the value of that asset stepped up in basis to the fair market value on the date of death. So that would mean that the $10,000 that I paid for the stock that is now worth $1 million passes to my children with a basis of $1 million. So if my children sold it after my death, they'd only pay capital gains taxes on the increase over the $1 million. This is a significant tax savings opportunity. And it's the one where I will say that the Biden administration, the Democrats, although they say they're not going to deal with people of modest means, many people of modest means many times are passing a home to the next generation. And you had a home that you bought for $300,000. And now that home is worth $1.5 million or $2 million. Under the law, the way it exists today, if your parents pass away and your children inherit the property, that house would step up in basis to $2 million. So if the kids subsequently sold the house for $2 million, there'd be no capital gains tax. Under the proposed legislation is to do away with the step up in basis on death. There may be some minor $1 million threshold that it doesn't apply to, but inherently they're trying to do with the away with the step up in basis on death, and so therefore there'd be capital gains on all of the gain. They claim that they will allow a credit against the estate tax. So not only will I have a capital gains tax, I would also have the potential for estate tax and capital gains tax on the same assets. So that's pretty bad too. We go one step further. So under current law, a trust. So when we create a trust for you guys out there, and we now protect the $23 million exemption that you have, and we can do it in a way that spouses would still have opportunities to have control. So there's a lot of things that we can do in intergenerational transfers between now and the end of the year. But the government is making another change. So in California, a trust can last about maybe 91 years. It's called the rule against perpetuities. In Nevada, a trust can last 365 years. And in South Dakota, for example, a trust can last in perpetuity. So if structured properly, one can make a gift into trust for children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and none of them, if structured properly, would be impacted by federal transfer taxes as it moved from generation to generation. You may have heard the term generation skipping trust or a dynasty trust. Very, very good for and very appropriate for many, many families. Well, under the legislation that has been submitted, didn't want to miss very much, they now set up a federal mandate that at least every 50 years, the trust must stop and federal taxation must be paid before it can go to the next generation. So all of our dynastic trusts and all of our trusts for multi-generation need to be looked at, and they could be modified. So in closing, there are a few things that I would like to share with you. And I'll be actually, before we close, one other one I almost failed to tell you is that gifting. All right, so now, of course, we talked about the gifting going down to $1 million rather than 11 and a half or even $3.5 million. All of us know, round numbers, we were able to give $15,500 as a gift to any number of people. So if I had six grandchildren, I'd give them 15, call it round numbers, 15,000, 15,000, 15,000, 15,000, and it didn't affect my $1 million. And we can give that to many people. And matter of fact, we use that gifting many, many times when we establish life insurance trusts, which, by the way, even a life insurance trust, which keeps life insurance out of our estate, all right, may be coming into question. So we need to take a look at that as well. Imagine you buy $5 million worth of life insurance and we have to give $2.5 million of it to the federal government. That doesn't seem to make much sense. Hopefully, that part of the legislation will not pass. But under the new legislation, gifts are limited to $30,000 total per year per donor. So that would mean, Harry, I can give $30,000. My wife can give $30,000. That's it. No more. Right now, I can give 15,000 to 100 people. I give 15,000 to each grandchild. No more. 30,000. If it's more than 30,000, it comes off my $1 million. So the annual gifting appears to be curtailed. So we look at this, we look back and say, okay, what are your choices? One choice is we can wait it out and hope that we don't die, we don't become disabled during the period of time that this legislation is in effect. We can hope that this legislation is not enacted. We can hope that if it's enacted, it'll be curtailed in future administrations as the political volleyball goes back and forth. Or we could take into our hands, do a deep depth analysis, a deep dive, and take a look at it. But ladies and gentlemen, we have 9 months. And we really don't even have that because appraisals have to be done. Appraisers are going to be busy. Attorneys are going to be busy. It's going to be a very, very difficult time. So I am suggesting to all of you, we at Barth Calderon have been training all of our professional career to help you transition a storm such as this. And we are ready, willing, and able to help. So please join us. Let us take a look with you. Let us walk down this road with you. Let's not let a $19 million opportunity fly by. And thank you all for joining me today. And I hope to be able to bring you new and better information as time goes by, but this is the way it is today. Paul, thank you very, very much.
Harry, thanks. Fantastic presentation. And everybody, I want to thank you for joining. And we are recording this. So for all those who registered, we're going to send out the recording. If you give us about 3 days to get that out and edited, look for that so you'll have the replay. And again, I put the sign up in the chat there. Go ahead and text us. And look forward to getting you any information at all. I did mention the chat last thing that if you're an advisor advising others who may be impacted by any of this, we're also a resource there. Happy to give you a complimentary input for your clients and assessing their own situation. So thank you. We'll see you here again on Wealth Protector TV real soon. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.